Good morning and shalom. We want to continue looking at the book of Philemon. It's only one chapter. And I want to look at it from verses 8 all the way 22 or 25 ahead. Now, we are looking at a very important issue here about reconciliation. Reconciliation is not possible until there is forgiveness. And forgiveness is not possible until there are bases for forgiveness. You must look for the basis for forgiveness. As the people of the world, people say, I will forgive, but I will not forget. But from the biblical point of view, God says, forgive and let go. Just let go. But why should one be able to forgive and let go? This book gives us very good grounds that can help us to see how we can let go, how we can forgive and reconcile. Let me say it again. There are many people who today forgives, because forgive clears the past hurtings. You do not want to attach the past hurtings with this person. You're saying, I clear you of any wrong. But reconciliation is a process of building trust. So there are people who you can forgive, but you don't reconcile. Let me give an example in the Bible. David, one time he was being pursued by King Saul, first king of Israel, and the king wanted to kill him. Two or three times the king had thrown a spear just to kill David. And every time David would dodge. And so he knew that was serious. So David ran away. And the king followed him in the wilderness to kill David. But by the grace of God, David at one time would have an opportunity to kill King Saul. Like one time they were hiding in a cave. So David was in the inner part of it. So King Saul came and camped somewhere. And when David came, he came to the king and he just wanted, he could have killed him. Joab, his commander, would say, kill him. But David said, I cannot touch the anointed one of God. So at one time, David cut a piece of cloth. And during the day, he went to their side and showed the king, King, look, I cut this from you. I could have killed you, but I did not. So what are we saying? David had forgiven the king. He did not want to revenge. But was David willing to come back and stay with King Saul? Not at all. So you see, there's one thing to forgive, to let go, that I'm not revenging. I've left it to God. But am I willing to come and live with you? Not at all. So it's a process to forgive, to let go of the pain, the past pain. And reconciliation is a process that you're saying, can we trust? Can I trust you again? So there are people you take time to trust because they broke the seal of trust. So this book is about forgiving and reconciliation, coming back. So Paul is appealing to Philemon. In this book of Philemon, is a plea for Onesimus. He is actually appealing for the two. He is saying, please forgive him. Not only forgive him, receive him. That is reconciliation. But this is what Jesus did. Jesus forgave us and he reconciled us to himself. He reconciled us back to God. Well, we were the enemies of God, the enemies of the grace. Jesus died for us. And so he forgave our sins. And he also reconciled us back to God and to himself. And he wants us to be reconciled to one another. And so Paul blots some grounds on this. So let's look at about four or five grounds that Paul was having as a ground for appealing for Onesimus. Of course, number one was because he had already said in the book of Colossians that Philemon had also a master called Jesus. And as a master, he was Jesus's slave. Not only Philemon, all of us are slaves of Jesus because Jesus died for us. He came for us and he had said, just like you are a master, remember, you have a master called Jesus Christ. So Philemon, because you have a master called Jesus, you and I, you can also be able to act the way this master is acting on you. So verse 80 says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Now, he repeats again, and let me repeat again, that the second thing that he is appealing for is love. What is love? That let your joy come from the joy of Philemon. Philemon, as we'll be looking at this, was a runaway slave who finally converted. And Paul says, on behalf of love for me and your love for God and the love you have for the people, please forgive him and reconcile back to him. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Jesus Christ, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chain. So Paul now talked about forgiving because of my relationship with you. It's because of me, not even because of him. Look, I am calling to you as your friend. He had talked about, as well, somewhere. I am a co-worker with you. I'm an old man. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I become a prisoner because of the gospel. So I'm appealing to you. And Onesimus is also my son. Just as you, Philemon, you are my son in faith. So he is giving enough lesson for him to accommodate this runaway slave. So I appeal for my son, Onesimus. He called him my son. Why? Because he became my son while I'm in chain. He came to me and I preached to him while he was running away. Jesus arrested him. And now he is there and he's my son. Verse 11, he says, formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and me. So he now starts talking about Onesimus' former life. He says, look, he was useless. Why? He was a slave. Because a slave was useless. A slave was looked at, not as a person. But he was a slave to you. Again, he had stolen something very useless. He ran away formerly, really useless. But now he has been arrested by Jesus. And if Jesus changes him, he is well changed. So he says he is now useful both to you and to me. So accept him because of his usefulness. In fact, his name, Onesimus, means usefulness. Then he said, I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. He called Onesimus my very heart. So if Philemon considered Paul as his best friend, Paul has a friend who is called Onesimus. And he's calling him my best friend. Back to you. I send him back to you. And then he says, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take place, he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chain for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not be forced, but could be voluntary. So he says, this person is so useful to me now. He has been helping me. Actually, has been taking your place of helping me. As a friend, you're also supposed to have come and be with me. But this slave, runaway slave, it's like you have sent him to come and help me. But is Jesus sent him to come and help me? He ran away from you, yes, but he is there helping me. I could have wanted to stay with him to help me, but I don't want to keep him without your consent. I want you to do something with favor, not with forced. It is voluntary, not forced. Then perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man, as a brother in the Lord. Because of what the Lord has done, he is dearer to you. He is dearer to the Lord. He is a brother now. Receive him. So if you consider me as a partner, welcome him as you would welcome him. So he appealed also to the partnership of Philemon and Paul. He says, I'm a partner to you. Please take him because of that. If he has done, now then he gets another one. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. This is what Jesus says, that Jesus took our part and he paid the penalty that we alone had incurred. So Paul is actually taking the place of a mediator. He is taking the place of Jesus. Paul is actually demonstrating the gospel that he has been preaching. This small letter is a demonstration of all the for the full gospel. Paul is taking the place of Jesus, who has been pleading to God for on our behalf. Who has actually given his life for us? Who is willing to give everything? Actually, he gave everything for us so that we could be acceptable to God. We could not come back to God because we were enemies of God. But by the death of Jesus, he paid our penalty that we could not pay. And he is pleading to the Father to accept us. The Bible says that Jesus is our high priest and he pleads for us. He makes an intercession. So this is an intercession. Paul is making an intercession, just like Jesus has been making an intercession. So if you want to accept and to understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, this letter gives us the gist. It gives us the essence of it all. So Paul says that charge it to me. I am willing. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I'll pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very life. So Paul says that you also owe me. So I will pay you, but you also owe me. I am not charging you. So it's like the one the Bible says, a person who was forgiven, but he was refusing to forgive others. So Paul says, you owe me your very life. In other words, I preached to you the gospel. I am the one who brought you to Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, you owe me that kind of ministry I did to you. So you also, but I'm also willing to pay you for Onesimus. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Another basis is refresh my heart. I'm in prison. Let this gospel be manifested. In other words, he was saying, please, Philemon, let the gospel be evident. This is the essence of the gospel. This is what Jesus has done for us. What you are supposed to do, you're supposed to be an example of Jesus. What you'll do, if you accept to do this, many of the brothers in Colossae and the rest of the area will be able to release all the prisoners. Not to let them go, but to have a better relationship. They still work for their masters, but they will not just work as useless people. They will work on the basis of love. Paul was not saying that people should release prisoners, should release slaves. No. But he was saying you stay with them, but on different basis, the basis of love. So he says, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, perhaps prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayer. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ. Epaphras was the pastor of the church. Epaphras was the one who had been leading this church. Philemon was one of an elder there, and he was also leading a house church. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Greet, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you all. So Paul is giving this number of people who are there. He's saying, your pastor is together with me. He's also in prison for Jesus Christ. He's a prisoner because of you people. He is here because he preaches the gospel. He's studying in for you. And this letter gives us the basis for the gospel. God has forgiven us, but only through Jesus. Jesus appealed to God on our behalf, just as Paul was appealing to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. So we are all like Onesimus. The whole of the church is like Onesimus. The whole of the people of God is like Onesimus. We were useless, we are useful now. But Jesus is the one, the middle. He is the mediator. So Paul took the place of a mediator. He is speaking to Philemon. Philemon represents the place of God. What a good gospel. What a good metaphor. What a good analogy. And if this one works, everybody in the kingdom of Rome would be able to see slaves in an eye that the Lord looks at them. Father, help us to look at each other with eyes that you alone can give. In Jesus' name, amen.